ආදය කර්මිකලි ජනටික් ඩිසීසස්. One day, a young man named Subha approached the Buddha. He asked an array of questions related to the disparity and differences that exist among the humankind. One of the questions he asked was, Lord, why some people are chronically ill while others are healthy? The Buddha answered this question. He said, Kammasaka manava satta, kamma dayada, kamma yoni, kamma bandhu, kamma patisarano, kammang satti vibhajati yadidang hinapanitataya. Young man, it is because of karma. Living beings are inherited or owner of their own karma. They are born from karma. They are bound to their karma. They have karma as their refuge. It is the karma that make human beings into high or low status. In other words, it is because of the karma that you can see the disparity and differences among the humankind. This dialogue can be found in Chula Kamma Vibhanga Sutta, one of very important discourse related to the Buddhist teachings of karma. When we look at this dialogue between the Buddha and Subha, someone can easily misinterpret that Buddhism subscribes to the idea that all the diseases are caused by past karma. However, that is not true. It is very clear karma and diseases have close link. But we cannot say that all the diseases are caused by past karma. In Sivaka Sutta, Maulya Sivaka went to the Buddha and asked this question, Lord, there are some ascetics who believe that all the diseases are karmically genetic. Do you also uphold the same belief? The Buddha, in his reply, explained to Maulya Sivaka that there are many causes for the diseases, both internal causes as well as external causes. And Buddha explained, the diseases can come into existence because of aggravation of internal causes like bile, phlegm, wind, or imbalance of these three. At the same time, the various diseases also can come into existence as external causes because of climate, because of carelessness, because of physical injuries. And finally, the Buddha also said that diseases also can be caused because of unwholesome karma. So here, karmically genetic diseases are possible, but karma is only one of the factors of many others. In Girimananda Sutta, there are a long list of diseases. Among various diseases listed in that sutta, there's one particular group of diseases called Kamma Vipakaja Abada, the diseases that come into existence as a result of unwholesome karmic forces. So these are the karmically genetic diseases. Now, let's ask the question, what are these karmically genetic diseases? It is impossible for us to point out particularly to a kind of disease and say that this is a karmically genetic disease. But what is important here, any kind of disease can come into existence, but its root cause is the karma. So, in other words, karmically genetic diseases can be any kind of disease. However, when someone is born with a particular type of chronic disease, we can safely and arguably say that it is karmically genetic diseases. Because some people, they are born with certain chronic diseases. And throughout their lives, they suffer because of such diseases. And we can safely say that they are karmically genetic. Looking at from the scientific point of view, the scientists may say that certain diseases come into existence because of the genetic makeup. We inherit them from our own mother and father and from our ancestors. While this is true, Buddhism recognizes to possess such a genetic makeup, someone must have a karmic link. In Maha Tanha Sankhya Sutta, the Buddha pointed out three factors which are necessary for a conception to take place. A sexual act of a mother and father, and it is to be the fertile period of the mother, and the third factor, a relinking consciousness of a departed one must be present. So the first two factors here provide, which is scientifically revealed genetic makeup or the fetus. But then, without consciousness coming into existence, in Buddhist teaching, we do not recognize that it is as at the beginning of a new life. In Paticca Samuppada, we also come across, in very clear terms, the Buddha says, Sankhara Paccaya Vijnanam. Because of the karmic formations, consciousness comes into existence. So the consciousness is propelled by a particular type of karmic force. So even though we look at from a scientific viewpoint of view to the genetic makeup of a particular being, to possess such a body, that particular being must have a karmic link. So even though certain diseases which are scientifically recognized related to genes, Buddhism also recognizes they are also karmically genetic diseases. There are many stories where the Buddha pointed out present diseases that link with past unwholesome actions. I'm not going to elaborate much, but I will just mention one of the incidents. In the time of the Buddha, there was a monk named Thissa. He was practicing meditation very diligently. Suddenly, he fell sick. He got some type of small boils all over his body, and they become bigger and burst out. And the pus and blood came out from these boils, and his robes were soaked in it. The other monks did not pay much attention. So this monk Thissa was left in a room without assistance from anyone. And the whole area was very stinky because of the pus and blood. So this monk was nicknamed as Putigatta Thissa, monk Thissa, who was having a stinky body. However, when Buddha came to know about this, he visited this sick monk and boiled hot water, bathed him, washed his clothes together with the help of the other monks, clean his body, and while attending the sick monk, Buddha started to teach him the Dhamma. The monk Thissa, who was having enough experience of practical aspect of the teachings, easily concentrated on what Buddha was saying. And Buddha specifically made him concentrate on the impermanent nature of the body, which was very easy subject for him to concentrate on. And soon, this monk break through the delusion and attain enlightenment. But he could not survive the body, so he passed away. After the cremation, in the monks' assembly, Buddha declared that he passed away as an enlightened monk, and related an incident happened a long ago. He said, "Monks, this particular monk Thissa, one of his former life was a bird hunter. After trapping the birds to prevent them escaping, he broke their wings and legs. As a result of this evil action in this life, he had to suffer a lot. So Buddha brought the attention of the monks to the unwholesome action that he did in one of his previous life, how it came into existence in this life, even where he attained perfect enlightenment." So there are many such incidents throughout the Buddhist literature. You can see easily the correlation between unwholesome actions and the diseases. If you were to ask the questions, what kind of actions will spring forth as diseases, we can look at again Chulakamma Vibhanga Sutta, and there the Buddha explained those people who engage in torturing, injuring, harming other living beings, causing the physical and mental pain and suffering. And these are the people, once they are born among the human beings, they suffer because of various chronic diseases. In fact, even though these concepts are very popular among the Buddhists, there are also some non-Buddhists who also believe such things. I believe that some of you might have heard about Edgar Cayce, who lived towards the end of 19th century, 1877 to 1945. He lived in America. And he was very famous for his ability to enter a kind of trance and prescribed medicines for the patients who came to take advice from him. However, among many of his readings, there are a lot of incidents related to past actions and present results. And the people who came to see him were from a different background, from different religious background, in fact, and cultural background. Edgar Cayce himself was not a Buddhist, and he was coming from a totally different religious background, and they did not believe in rebirth or karma. However, many of his readings are related to the karma and the diseases, how past actions cause the present diseases. One of the important questions for us to ask, can we cure these karmically genetic diseases? The answer depends on to what extent is this particular disease is karmically genetic, and what kind of powerful action lies behind this disease. In that sense, some of the karmically genetic diseases can be cured. Some may not be able to be cured. Regardless of the matter, whether we can cure them or not, Buddha encouraged to take necessary actions and try to treat the patients. There's one of the incident, again, the recorded in Dhammapadatti stories. Venerable Anuruddha once visited his hometown, Kapilavastu city. At that moment, almost all his relatives visited him, except his sister, Rohini. When he asked about her, he was informed that Rohini was having a terrible skin disease, and she could not visit him. However, Venerable Anuruddha advised his sister Rohini to sell her all the jewelries and with that money to build a community center for the use of the public. He also advised her during the construction period to bring the water and fill up the water containers and sweep the floor and keep the area clean. When Rohini started doing as she was instructed, she felt much better. For the opening ceremony of this community center, they invited the Buddha and the community of monks for a lunch. At the end of the lunch ceremony, Buddha revealed why Rohini was having this terrible skin disease. He said, one of her previous life, she was a chief queen of a king. In that royal court, there was a dancing girl, which attracted the attention of the king. So the being the chief queen, she was very jealous of it. And she advised her servant to throw some powders which can cause skin irritation of this dancing girl. And because of that action, the dancing girl suffered a lot. And Buddha said, because of this action which is done out of anger and jealousy, in this life, Rohini had to suffer this terrible skin disease. However, at the end of the sermon, she attained the first stage of enlightenment and also her disease disappeared. So this story tells us that some of the karmically genetic diseases can be cured. But of course, Venerable Anuruddha was someone who was having a great psychic powers and abilities, and perhaps he knew exactly what to be done. In ordinary cases, of course, we do not know what kind of actions is the most suitable for this kind of karmically genetic diseases. But among the Buddhist traditions, you might have seen that when some people are sick, we also encourage great meritorious actions. Because if you were to believe that the karmically genetic diseases are caused by unwholesome actions, where you torture, injure, and cause much sufferings to other living beings, then opposite actions, which are meritorious actions, which bring peace, happiness for the living beings, are encouraged. So you might have heard and seen in many occasions when the people are sick, whether they are in the hospitals or in other places, the relatives, they do wholesome actions, various kind of meritorious actions, and then share the merits with the person who is having a particular health issue and wish good health. So you also invite the venerable monks to visit these people and do some chanting and wish them good health, peace, and happiness. So still we are going ahead with the Buddhist belief and practices. We engage in meritorious actions. However, among the non-Buddhists also, there are such practices are going on. One of the most famous method nowadays is known as past life regression, a kind of practice which is more popular in Western world. Even though many of these people do not believe karma and rebirth, but the practice is related to past actions and present diseases. So some of the people who are suffering from certain diseases which cannot be cured by the doctors, they go for such treatment related to past life regression. Okay, one more question before we end up this talk. In fact, from the Buddhist point of view, the ultimate solution to all the karmically genetic diseases and all the other suffering is the Dhamma. Buddha encouraged both physical and mental health. Physical diseases can create mental agony, stress, and suffering. On the other hand, mental defilements and diseases also can become the root causes of physical diseases. Having understood it, Buddhism encouraged to lead a lifestyle which is conducive for physical health, regular exercises, moderate in eating, refraining from drinks and drugs, and excessive engaging in sensual pleasure. And in this way, moderate a lifestyle which is conducive for good health, at the same time reducing mental defilements, intoxicants, by adopting meditation and the other religious activities. So in this way, Buddhism encouraged both mental and physical health. However, we also can see, no matter how we try, eventually the nature of this body is changing, getting old. And when we are getting older and older, and we become weaker and weaker, and we also might experience various kind of diseases. And eventually, sooner or later, the death will come. So no one can stop getting old, falling sick, and death. But Buddha says, even though the nature of the body is such, we can train our mind to have perfect health and go beyond all the sickness. In Nakula Pita Sutta, when Nakula visited the Buddha, he said, "Lord, I'm very old now. I often fall sick." And the Buddha said, "It is so, household, it is so. The nature of this body is such. It gets old. It falls sick. But when you fall sick physically, do not let your mind to fall sick." So the Buddha's advice here, we should try our best to keep our mental health a positive, constructive, and wholesome mindset, because such a mind is conducive for enlightenment and go beyond all the sickness and achieve perfect enlightenment. The Buddha recognized the mental defilements. They are the most dangerous type of diseases. So entire Buddhist practice leads how we can uproot all these defilements and achieve perfect mental health. Here, the perfect mental health is a term to mean a mind which is free from greed, hatred, delusion, and all the other defilements. And such a mind is full of compassion, full of wisdom. And such people enjoy bliss and happiness. So in this particular case, Buddha is a doctor. He recognized all the living beings, they are suffering from the diseases of greed, hatred, and delusion, and other defilements. So he discovered the perfect medicine for it, the Dhamma. So Dhamma is the medicine. By following the Noble Eightfold Path, one can perfectly be cured. And then the Sangha members, they are like the nurses. The enlightened monks and nuns, they have followed the Noble Eightfold Path and perfectly got cured. Now they are supporting in return to other human beings to recover faster. So Buddha is a doctor here, the Dhamma is the medicine, and the Sangha members are the nurses. So this analogy can be found in the discourses. So Buddha encouraged all the monks In fact, in Milinda Panha, we can see these words. Of all the medicines in the world, manifold and various, there is none like the medicine of Dhamma. Therefore, O monks, drink of this. Having drunk this Dhamma medicine, you will be ageless and beyond death. Having developed and seen the truth, you will be quenched, free from craving. So the ultimately, it is the Dhamma that lead us from all the diseases, old age, and death, and lead us beyond the death to attain perfect enlightenment. So this much is enough as a talk, so we can open this for Q&A.